Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, I'm Steph, and this is the Don't Buy Her Flowers podcast. And this intro is being recorded again in a cupboard, but this time at a school. So one of my kids is at a sports club, so I was looking for somewhere quiet and I've snuck into another cupboard. So I think this might become a thing. I'm quite enjoying doing it. But I wanted to start by saying thank you. I had loads of messages about the Dr. Emma episode where we talked about mental health and the pandemic. And I think people found her soothing voice very reassuring, but also she sort of explains why we might be feeling certain things, whether that's anxiety or exhaustion or feeling lost or uncertain, and also some bits of the last couple of years have kind of gone blank. So she explains all of that and just lets you know that it's pretty normal and how we can maybe start to think about recovery. So I'm aware that no one has an abundance of time. So if you've sent me DMs and emails, or if you've rated and reviewed the show, that's using up time that you don't necessarily have loads of. So I just wanted to say, I appreciate you. The other thing I wanted to say is today's guest is Jessie Ware. So Jessie is a singer-songwriter. She has an enormously popular podcast called Table Manners, which she does with her mum. She also has written cookbooks. She has 3 children, 5 and under. She's got quite a lot going on. I would say she's bang in the rush hour that we talk about on this podcast. So she's juggling career and family and marriage and the music industry. And she talks about all of that. And also how the podcast Table Manners basically kind of saved her. And gave her a creative outlet when she was feeling a bit lost after having a baby and feeling a bit lost in the music industry. So it's really interesting. And the other thing is, which I didn't know until we were recording, she was a recipient of a Don't Buy Her Flowers box after her last baby. And she is now a customer, which is very cool. So you hear me let out a little squeal when she says that because I wasn't expecting it. But you know, I'll work on coolness. I'm just not very good at that, but that's all right. But yeah, really lovely chat, beautifully honest, and authentic. So I really enjoyed it and I hope you enjoy listening to it. So Jessie, I was going to start with, how is 2022 going so far? We're 2 weeks in. Are you okay?
I mean, we only started the podcast 15 minutes late because I was berating my husband for taking all my Bluetooth headphones and asking my mother where my recording gear is. But, you know, also trying to batch cook. I'm really obsessed with batch cooking in 2022, which is driving my husband mad too. I'm like, you are welcome. But yeah, I'm right. I'm good. I feel like I've had a really easy start to the year so far. So I've had like lots of time waiting, which I'm twiddling my thumbs. So this is kind of my first proper day back to work. So thanks for having me. And I haven't known what to do with myself apart from batch cook, which is driving everyone mad.
Who are you batch cooking for? The baby?
I don't really know. Well, the baby is weaning, and so that is, I forgot that is a ball ache.
So I've got 3 kids. You forget everything, and you've done them way closer together than I have. But you're doing it. It's like the first night when Frank came home and we were lying there and he kept waking up and we had to keep getting, and we looked at each other and we're like,
how had we forgotten that this is what they do?
Torture.
Oh man,
they're clever and they make you forget so that then you want another one maybe. No, the weaning is I have to just go to Annabelle Carmel. I've got the book and it's just got, it's disgusting and kind of sticky, and but I actually need to just do that. My husband would, I love my husband, he's the greatest father ever, I'm just rinsing him today. He would give the child just banana every day, which is fine, I guess, but the guy needs a bit of variation, I'd say. So he looks at me and then I take it too far, and then I'll be like, oh, should we try a little thyme in this carrot and butternut squash quinoa puree? And he's like, you are annoying. So we just annoy each other.
But I love it because on the podcast you regularly talk about how your daughter hates your food.
Hates it. As you know, we've turned a corner. We've turned a corner. It is a delight. Now my middle one hates it. So
but you don't need to worry because you know they'll come good if the other one has.
Yes. Is that is that a thing that happened with you? Yeah. How old are your kids now?
11, 9 and 4. So I spread them out. I had two really close together and was like, oh my God. And then I started a business and was like, I can't do anything else. And then like 5 years later, I was like, I can't, I need another one.
Speaking of your business, I got one of the greatest presents. From your wonderful Don't Buy Her Flowers. I did this podcast. This sounds like I've just pushed it straight in. It wasn't, yes, this is not the case.
I haven't paid for this.
No, but also no, I'm gonna look like I'm product placing my podcast. But so the obstetrician Jess McMicking from the podcast that we did, she was our regular obstetrician on this the pregnancy podcast that we did called Is It Normal? She sent me, which I thought was very kind of her, seeing as I had stolen many an hour from her asking her questions about like whether, you know, farting was okay, flatulence, so much flatulence.
I've got
in
a
early
whole
pregnancy
list of all the things you talked about and the gross things and how brilliant it was.
So she sent me an amazing present when my son was born, and it had cashmere, like a cashmere eye mask, and a little mini cocktails, and like beautiful aromatherapy balms. And I was just like, this is the greatest present. So I've done it for loads of my mates. It is so clever. You are brilliant.
Oh, that's so kind. Thank you so much. Yeah. Well, and it started as Gifts for New Mums. So that was the now we do loads of other things, but that was the original because I got loads of bloody flowers when I had a baby.
Me too. Me too. And you know what? We love flowers, but it did people, I think it's mostly men that send the flowers
when you're just overwhelmed, like you're, even if it's your third, right, you're still sitting there going, oh God, I've got so much to do, and
I like to delegate stuff, so my husband, the pain in my ass, who is also the greatest florist now, would be there cutting stems, and he'd be like, oh my God, please we were just giving them away by the end.
Yeah, anyone passing by, would you like a bouquet? Well, so what I was gonna say to you, because so 2022 is so far gone, easier, slower start, but 2021 was absolutely massive. So I'm just gonna list some of the things you did because I'm sure it's not everything either. But obviously, huge success with Table Manners podcast, which you do with your mum, which I love. 12 seasons and 30 million downloads. You're on, by the way. Oh. You also duetted with Kylie, just any duet, but a disco track.
Yes, that was fun.
You had your new pregnancy podcast you mentioned, Is It Normal? You started the What's Your Pleasure tour and you had a third baby.
Mm.
And I'm sure there's loads of other stuff in between.
I wrote a book too. I'm just going to put that in there.
What book?
It's called Omelette. It was a food memoir because I'm really trying to annoy people with the amount that I was doing. No, it was weird. It was a weird offering of somebody said, look, do you want to write, like basically talk about your food memories, because you ask everyone else food memories in your podcast. And so I said, oh God, I don't know. And they just set me the task. And I don't, now that I've written it, I didn't find it particularly pleasant. And I don't think I want to do it again, to be honest. Well, I'm glad that I've done it.
Your Table Manners cookbook is brilliant. But that has loads of like memories and stuff throughout it as well.
Yes.
But I cooked the Brussels sprouts with grapes and hazelnuts at Christmas.
Did you like them?
I really liked it. The hazelnuts added something. Yes. I wouldn't have thought as a combination it would work, but I think I heard you saying, look, it doesn't sound right, but try it. And my kids weren't going to go near the sprouts anyway. So I was like, well, we might as well do something that we want to do with them.
What else did you do? What else did you do that was other bits?
Oh, just turkey.
Oh, yeah.
Really normal. We had COVID. Well, some of the family had COVID, so we had the same as most people, which is that we couldn't see everyone.
Sorry.
So it was all right. It was all right because it was really easy. It was like,
did you get it?
Steve, I had it in November with one of my kids.
Were you all right?
Yeah, it was fluid. It was, it knocked me out. And actually, I was doing that classic juggling stuff, doing too much, feeling like I, you know, when you're responsible for lots of people and things. And then it put me in bed for 3 days. And actually, it was quite good because I don't think
did
I've done
watch
that.
Watch Netflix.
Yeah. I caught up on, I can't, oh, my son's 11. So something that is really nice that you've got coming is when they start to like stuff that you can watch as well.
So what are you watching together?
At the moment they're watching Cobra Kai, so you're watching Cobra Kai, which is the Karate Kid remake, but with the people who were in Karate Kid.
Oh, cool.
So it's good. And we and room four in a bed and stuff like that.
So okay, so the where I'm at is my son has suddenly got obsessed with Marvel. Not that he's been able to watch any of the big films because they're too big boy for him.
Is
so
is he nearly three?
He's three soon, yeah.
Right.
But he's suddenly, it's just like it was Fireman Sam before.
Yeah.
I mean he's quite basic in that sense. He's just like he's not, you know, throwing a curveball at any of us. So it was Fireman Sam, and now it is Marvel. And he's obsessed with Groot, who is the ugliest looking one. He looks like he's kind of got skinned flesh. It's kind of like he looks, it's like or a tree, or kind of a really scary stick man.
Yeah.
And the guy, like, I don't think he understands what's going on, but there's something that just clicks with them with it.
It's weird. I remember Buster coming home and singing the Superman theme tune and being like, you've never heard that. Where have you got that?
Yeah.
And it was through nursery or something, but it's, yeah. But oh, that's so good.
No, I mean, I'm intrigued by bedtime in your house now. Because like
how you've still got a toddler, so I've been where you are without the older one as well, like when the first two were kids, and I would say it's intense and we survived it.
Yeah. It's really full-on. It's like a negotiation every night.
And bath time and I mean, if you're ever doing it on your, I can remember the fear of doing it on my own if my husband was away and being where do I put them? How do I?
No. Okay. So I'm glad that you're saying that, but I get this and I have three beautiful, brilliant children that I love, but there still is the fear when I'm left on my own with all three of them. Is that terrible? Cause then everyone would be like, why did you have three then?
No, it's
absolutely
not.
Terrifying.
Three is a lot. Like we regularly say, and again, we have to caveat, I love my children. But we're like, I don't know, when everyone talks about motherhood, it's like quite competitive and there's a real martyrdom to it. So, it doesn't get any easier. And I don't have teenagers, so I can't inform you of that bit. But the bit you're in is particularly hard, I would say, when they're small and they can't communicate and you are doing someone is doing everything for them.
Yeah.
Like bum wipe, when they can
wipe. That's amazing. I think, you know what? I think I expect too much from my 5-year-old though. And the poor girl, like, I do think that I kind of treat her like she is like my friend sometimes. And I'm like, come on, can you get number two's shoes and da da da. And I'm quite hard on her. And she takes on my stress, I think, sometimes. And I feel really bad. And I don't know whether that's like the eldest that you just expect.
Yeah, I do it the same. And also it will be like Frank will be being, and my youngest will be being a nightmare. And I'll be like, guys, can you just let him have that toy? Just let him have that thing. Give him a bit of your cake. And they kind of look at me. So they have to sacrifice. But that'll be their dynamic and it will be part of their personality.
And also it's good for them, I guess, some of it, you know.
They have empathy that they wouldn't have. Like, I think empathy and understanding and stuff. And my 11-year-old now will say, like, are you okay, mum? And like, breaks my heart a little bit if I'm looking a bit lost or sad or cross. I'm like, you okay, mum? And he went and got my youngest's pajamas. Yeah, I said, I'm gonna just get his pajamas on down here. We won't bother with the bath. Like, just basically do it while they're watching telly because it distracts them. And he came down with Frank's pajamas and was like, I didn't ask you to get those. He was like, no, but you said you were gonna put his pajamas on. I was like, well, so there you go. So you might create kids that have more independence than adults who like their mum's picked up everything.
Or high anxiety levels and resentment. And
yeah, exactly. Well, do you know what? It'd be good to talk to you about your pregnancy podcast. So the Is It Normal pregnancy podcast, which started in September. But I wanted to ask you, so it tracks week by week from week four, I think, pretty much. Yeah. And then you do it week 4 to 6, week 6 to 8. Yeah, it goes through, and you've currently got to week 36, 37. But did you record it while you were going through your pregnancy?
Yes.
It makes such a difference, because normally with anything that's pregnancy related, it's either really medical or it's people talking retrospectively. Mm. And you can really hear as you listen to it, like, it would be so useful. That was nothing like that when I was having babies.
I think, and that's kind of why, I mean, it was my third baby, third and final baby. Mm. And we did it. And, you know, I love all aspects of pregnancy. Well, no, that's wrong. I don't appreciate the piles that I now have, and I don't, but no, and the weight that I have to lose, no. I'm intrigued by pregnancy. Mm. I found it really fascinating. I've been very lucky to have pretty straightforward pregnancies, but I do have found that each pregnancy was really different. However kind of straightforward they were for me, they all had different symptoms. And when I discussed with my girlfriends about their symptoms, everyone was different. And when I had my first, none of my mates were really pregnant, and so I didn't have that sounding board, so it was very much like looking on the internet and freaking yourself out. And so I just thought, for the third one, I just thought it would be something that I would have appreciated when I was maybe first time mum, second time mum, parent, because it just felt reassuring, and having that conversation with someone rather than looking at text and kind of descriptive kind of there's something quite scary and alien about when you do a Google search on something and you find all these other potential things. But having that conversation with a regular person, I think it really was important. Also, it was COVID, lots of people weren't being able to see their midwives as regularly,
or even NCT groups. Like my best mate had her first in July, and I remember her messaging and saying, are there any podcasts I could listen to? And I was like, there are a lot about motherhood, but she wasn't really ready for that, because that's a bit overwhelming, isn't it? When you're not when you've not had the baby, if everyone's talking about all the hormones and all that stuff, you're kind of like, But also, she couldn't do NCT. Like, she went to do an antenatal group and there weren't enough people, and then they had to do it. I think someone came to her house. It was just her and her partner. And it was a bit like, it's kind of the point was to meet
her. And I think it's you can build really beautiful communities and friendships with people. You know, so many people, I didn't do NCT and I kind of wished I had. So this was like my version of NCT, I guess. But loads of my friends that have done it have made like lifelong friends because they were in it together. So for me, it was to try and help first, second, third time parents that just had more questions than maybe they could ask or felt like they could ask in that, you know, 15 minute checkup that you have every so often. And particularly at the time when we were recording, things weren't as accessible.
Well, and also, I suppose when you go to those appointments, some of the stuff, like, so week 36 in particular, I was listening to it, and you guys covered mucus plugs, discharge, first poo after having a baby, and also shitting in labour.
All the good stuff.
It was all the good stuff, but it was the stuff that you wanted to hear and you didn't know. And then after you have your first baby, especially, and you get together with your girl, and they go, oh, yeah, no, all this stuff happened. You're like, why didn't anyone mention it?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's just the realities. And labour can be a beautiful, euphoric, amazing thing. It can also be terrifying. You could maybe, I mean, look, I didn't poo myself on the first two. And then the third one, loads of poo. You know,
Jessie,
you just don't know.
Can I tell you my poo story?
Yeah, please.
With my third. So with all three, my mum was midwife. So she.
Oh, wow. How does that work with dynamics of you being like, yeah, mum, okay, I've got this.
I think some of the stuff's changed a bit, because sometimes she'd say stuff and I'd be like, are you sure about that? And she had loads of kids as well. So I'm one of six. So I don't know. But I she'd said, stay at home as long as you can, which was good advice. She was like, don't go in, because if you go in and they check you and you're like 1 centimeter dilated, you'll be really disappointed. It sets you back. So with all three, I was basically ready to go when I got there. And I got there with my second. And they took me into the triage bit. And they said, right, if you hop on the bed, and walked in, there's all these people quietly sitting behind curtains and couples who are there really early. And I was mooing, like properly going. Mm. And they kept getting me to hop on the bed and hop and take my knickers off. And I couldn't, because they were like, we want to check you. It's like, but every time I got on, I'd have a contraction. Anyway, we're standing there and I could feel it coming, and I started to say, I'm shitting. And it was, you could hear it splatting onto the floor like a fucking cowpat. And Doug's rubbing my back and going, "We know, darling, we know." And in hindsight, I was like, oh, those couples who are probably having their first and had gone in really early, and they were sitting behind just listening to another woman shit.
Anyway, but all that to look forward to, that's you don't care. That's the thing. My midwife fell into my shitty birth pool. Like, I think she maybe did care. I got her a nice burger, and she had a shower at my house though, so we're cool.
Because you had three home births, right?
No, I had two home births. The first one I had it kind of in a broom cupboard in a hospital, which was absolutely fine because you don't care.
No,
you just want the baby out, and it's fine.
Yeah, amazing. So did you, I've read in one article that you said, oh, I fucked my mystique by now, which I loved, because you are very honest and open about everything. So whether that's kind of music industry stuff or pregnancy and birth and relationships, I've obviously been listening to lots of stuff and reading lots of stuff before this, and you're really honest in a way that is quite unusual, I think, probably, because I'm guessing most people in the music industry almost have to pretend like they don't have children.
I think it's really funny because your producer Fee has known me for my whole music career. Mm. Was always a producer at, you know, Radio One that I had a really great affinity with, and I had this, they would be playing my music and it would be kind of slightly kind of sad R&B soul electronic stuff. Mm. And then when I'd come in, we'd be like gassing, having a good old chit chat, having a gossip, and it just, they didn't kind of make sense together. Mm. And then when I did the podcast, it was like this emancipation where I think it was probably because my music career was in a really funny predicament where I was changing management, wanted to change labels, had this album that I felt like I had to write about motherhood first mm-hmm. time, and all the guilt around that. And I was trying to prove too many things. But yeah, the podcast that I started at the same time as that was this great release and emancipation of my real kind of self. And so people were coming to the podcast and hearing Mum and I chat, and it was very normal. It wasn't about music at all. Mm. And then maybe not even knowing that I was a musician. But then weirdly, it gave me more confidence to kind of do the music and to not care anymore. And it's funny because I think it's been really interesting speaking to some of the other mums in the industry. You know, these are people that have been in the industry for a while. You know, Ellie Goulding, me and her are on the, like, a WhatsApp, and we send each other pictures of our kids, and I just check in and she'll check in on me, and she's always been a really great girl to me. Paloma Faith, again, you know.
She's talked really honestly, hasn't
yes,
she?
Yes, and she did that. And she did that. She did that documentary about how hard it was to go on tour with her kids and her kid. She had one at the time, and that really struck a chord with me because I took my daughter on tour and it was really difficult. But then, you know, also, unfortunately, people don't really want to hear about that. I mean, mums do, and parents do maybe, and I do as a musician, a fellow musician.
Yeah, although I suppose, I bet you there's a lot of people who, there'll be tracks from, was it Glass House, which was I bet there'll be tracks from that mean so much to people because of that emotion in it. And
absolutely, and I think that it's one of those times a healer with it. It was really a difficult period, and I'm still really proud of the songs that I did. I can really picture where I was at that time, and I feel very sorry for myself. I don't feel sorry for myself, but I wish I could have had the confidence that I have now and been able to kind of guide that person a little bit more. I felt very lost in the industry. I felt very alone, and also felt like I was trying to just keep everything up with my family and my career. But, you know, everything's good now.
But even if that, you're obviously saying that as someone who's a, you know, a singer-songwriter, and that is which is very different to probably most people who are listening, except all the stuff you've just described.
It's like everyone in there.
Is exactly, but, yeah, which is lost, not sure what's happening with your relationship, not sure what's happening with your job, your body feels alien. Yeah. And that is really difficult.
I think that thing with the relationship as well, like, and I'm sure Sam wouldn't mind me saying, because we're so tight, but that first child and that first experience of, she is a joy. She is an easy, brilliant child. I'm so proud of her. And it was tough. Those first 18 months of you having to understand a new relationship with each other, which was very much like passing ships, or it was very functional. It was kind of like, you know, there was no time for us. There was that kind of like, what's the baby's schedule, or when does she need to be fed, or what's her nap time, or who's going to have her now because I've got to do this, or, I've got to do a session now with my clients. And it just was really robotic, and there was kind of,
it's logistics, isn't it? It's, you're just
totally kind of... and we just and we really weren't getting on, like, worryingly, you know. And I think so many couples find that, especially, and you put in the sleep deprivation, that is just cruel. Hormones, but the sleep thing, I mean, I have been quite strict with this third one, and people will judge me or they will disagree, and that's absolutely fine. I haven't made him cry out at all, but I kind of implemented a schedule quite early on, really gentle, and which has promoted his kind of sleeping the night. And I didn't do that with either of the other two, and just being able to sleep at night has it been better? Oh my goodness,
yeah.
Look, like, I'm lucky I have a nanny a few days a week, and as well, like, I'm very supported. But the sleep thing was the thing that was terrifying me.
Yeah.
And I needed to be able to sleep in the night to be able to function for the other two. And so we kind of did, the boy's a good sleeper.
Have a career, you know, all the other stuff.
Yes.
It makes, I'm totally down with routine, and I needed it probably more for me than for them, if anything.
Yes.
Same. And also you have a responsibility, right? So, like, I run a business, so I've got people that I can't just not turn up to work. I can't just not do a meeting, and I'm not saying that everyone else can, but if you have a job we can't take a year out. And also, I guess, to add on top of that, it's been a really uncertain time for your industry with COVID. So you have to get people.
Listen, I had this tour booked, which fucking got finished anyway because of bloody COVID.
How many dates did you manage to do? Because it looked amazing.
We did five, okay. And it was amazing. Okay. And I have never had so much fun on stage. It was electric. I thought my son was going to come on tour with me because he was 4 months old. He was going to be 4 months old. And I was like, I'm not leaving him. And I need to make sure his routine's really good so that when I'm on stage, it's not a mess for whoever's coming on tour with me, whether it was going to be my nanny for half of it and my husband for the other half. So Sam and I had a really great chat. And because Sam is so brilliant and doesn't get fazed by having three children on his own, he was like, just leave the baby here. Like, he's nearly stopped breastfeeding because my boobs never worked brilliantly. And he was like, just leave him here. You can go and focus on your work. It's 12 days. Just go and do it. Otherwise, you're going to be feeling like you have to be mother. And I had to, like, text Annie Mac and check that she thought it was okay. And she was like, babe, you can do it.
I love that she's like your confidence. She's your guru.
She is. She's always been. And then also Paloma Faith had just done a tour where she'd had the baby for half of it and then not. And she'd got laryngitis from her baby. Now, I'm not saying that I would have got laryngitis from my baby. She was just like, listen, it's going to hurt your heart, but just do it. You will be able to focus.
And also, presumably, the reason that men are generally more successful in the workplace, probably for however many centuries, is because they would have that separation when you're trying to do one thing. And sometimes you can juggle both. Like, you can do an interview while breastfeeding, or you can whatever. But for some things, and I'm guessing the tour must take a lot of energy, and you can't be fully present if you're also...
It was, absolutely. And I wasn't lazy, but I'd be sitting in my bed till, like, cool time for sound check. I'd be like watching Housewives of Beverly Hills till 2 o'clock in the afternoon because I was waking up at 11 o'clock. I felt like a teenager. But the thing is, I also was waking up at 11 because I had everything whirring around in my head because we were also scared about getting COVID. So, and you play the gig and you wouldn't be able to get down from buzz.
Yeah.
But it was the right decision, however hard it was, when I walked back into my house after having to come back from, because the COVID cancelled it. And I picked up my son and he cried like he didn't know who I was. Like, oh God. And then we were fine. He kind of remembered, but
that's not long lasting. He's not going to still be thinking.
No, we're best mates. Again,
20 in therapy,
but stuck the knife
but it
twisted
does.
That knife,
yeah. But and even again with that, like, Doug used to go away all the time when the kids were small, and I would be at home on my own, and they would come for me always. And now he can't travel, and I go back and forth to the warehouse, and like they will go more to him, but actually I'm like, that's okay, because he's their dad. Like, we almost have to talk ourselves down to go, this is
totally okay.
They're allowed to have that relationship, but it just, I guess, it conflicts with what we grew up with, or what we think is, other people think is right.
Yes,
so confusing.
And I still I've made peace with it, little by little, in the sense that we have different roles in, traditional roles, my husband and I, and that's okay. And I'm so happy that they have such an amazing, strong relationship with their father. Mm. And he's so brilliant, and he feels empowered to be able to, you know, I mean, I don't like it when he's checking on me to see whether I'm doing so. I'm like, I've got
You're capable okay, of holding the baby.
I'm very capable. But I've probably done that to him many a time. But yeah, you know, we're a team. We're a team, and it's great.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And it ebbs and flows, isn't it? What, a bit like just relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And your marriage, it isn't straightforward. Like I've said before, that I kind of thought, right, well, we fell in love and we get married, and it was an upward trajectory that just got happier and happier, or at least it got to happiness, and then we were there. And actually, it's really not. It's really up and down, and sometimes we're really connected, and sometimes we're completely disconnected and just talking about logistics. And you need to do that. And you forgot to pick up that, and that's, I think that's marriage. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, do you have like one of the designated like date night nights or not?
We don't have a designated night, but we have realized that sometimes we'll go a few months and we haven't made time just to be on our own.
Yeah.
And then we'll go, and then we'll do something. We were quite lucky that we had loads of our friends were getting married when we first had kids. So we'd go to weddings, and quite often babies weren't invited. So it would kind of almost make the decision for us to go away and have a night away. And we would be like 10 minutes down the motorway and look at each other and be like, oh, I really like you.
Yeah.
Because you do, don't you? But it's hard to do that when there's this constant noise and demand on both of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think.
Do you guys manage to get away?
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite good at booking a night away. We take the little one. We've been taking the little one. He's doing really well with the older UK hotels at the moment. We'll kind of steal a night here or there. Like, yeah, I think we've done that, and we felt really naughty. We went to a daytime showing of West Side Story the other day.
What, did you think it was the most amazing thing?
I loved it. I didn't think Tony was. I thought he was slightly vain.
A couple of people have said that, but I didn't like the original Tony. I thought he was a bit.
No,
wet.
I think it's a wet part, like absolutely. But I thought he had the most beautiful voice. But I think there was something that I didn't. I mean, compared to Maria was and Riff,
Anita,
Anita was fab. all of it. I just loved it like so much. And I sing all the songs to the kids. So it's just so lovely.
It's such a good soundtrack. But the daytime cinema, because that's exactly what we did. It was just before Christmas. I was like, well, shit, we've got to get this in because otherwise we're not going to see it till ages.
Yeah.
With the kids. And we were like, why don't we do this more? Like, why don't we? Because it was really
do you feel
enjoyable.
Slightly naughty, right? Mm-hmm. Because like your kids aren't asleep. Mm. So that was the thing. And like we had my nanny that day here. So then and she was like, just go. And we went at a lunchtime one. So two of them were napping. But still, it felt really naughty.
Isn't that weird though? What is it that makes us feel like we have to sacrifice our relationships and ourselves so much? I guess maybe because that is what our parents did more. But like they'll be glad of it. Like actually, and again, with my kids a little bit older, we went to away in September. It was belated 40th, because my 40th was in proper lockdown. It was terrible. But we were on the way there and we were dropping the kids with their cousins, who they love, and they were gonna have a bus. It was like, oh, why do we have to go just so you can go on your own? And because he's 11, you could say, right, I'm gonna explain, like, this is why we need time on our own. And it was really interesting because I thought he will understand that. And at some point, and I was like, one day, if you have children and you have a partner, we'll have this chat again. And I think they will see that you prioritize each other sometimes, not all the time, because actually most of your decisions are probably made based on your kids, right?
And we love spending time with our kids, and in the sense that like we love doing things for them. I've realized that we don't get invited to people's houses as much now, maybe because that's because there's five of us.
Sleepovers, you have to divvy up the kids, so it'll be like, well, you'll have that one and you can have that.
Oh man,
yeah
I've got all that to look forward to. But yeah, I mean, I love, life's boring without my kids. I love them being there. I think just having that those little moments just really helps you appreciate how wonderful, you know, you've got it.
Do you think having a third, because you were one of three, right?
Yeah.
And I was one of six, and I after two I was like, it just feels too safe, and it like, which is a stupid thing to say, like it's like, but I needed more chaos. That's what it felt like.
I felt like I had been, I mean, look, I'm very lucky to have three, and but I was being greedy, and I came from three. Sam was like, let's just stop at two, and I was like, no, there's something in me, it's niggling. And now I've got three. Yeah, it's mental, but it kind of feels like the right kind of chaos for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's exactly the same. And Doug wasn't keen, and but I did it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Basically. I think going from one to two is harder than two to three.
Yeah, completely.
I mean, and Matey is in both my daughter's and my son's clothes. Like he's also huge. So he's already like in one-year-old clothes and he's 6 months, but like, you know, it's they get all the hand-me-downs. They are proper hand-me-down number threes, like nothing new for them.
And when you with the Table Manners podcast, so you started that in 2017, so it was at the same time that you were saying this, you were having this kind of struggle with music. Was it really strategic? Was it really intentional? Were you just like, I just need to do something?
There was nothing. It was impulsive. That's okay. Kind of how I do things, I've realized. It was impulsive. It took a while to get it all sorted. It was an idea with my mate in New Year's Eve of 2015.
Right.
And I just kind of pissed about thinking about it, kept on thinking, what should I do? Yada, yada, yada. And then it came out, 2017, because, we started recording it in the summer. And it was just, I think it just was something that I needed. I didn't know how much I needed it. But I still, Steph, can't believe how successful it is. Feels so easy to do, you know, it feels like a pleasure. And I'm sure you'll find it's a pleasure, isn't it? Like you chat and you feel like, hon, is this work? Like, don't get me wrong, you know, lots of work goes into it. And you probably prep your chats more than I do. I'm prepping food instead. But it feels cheeky how fun it is to be doing this and call it a job.
But the premise of it is that primarily your mum cooks and you have people around, and it's to replicate the Friday night dinners that you had growing up.
Yeah.
But it's so smart in that it's probably completely disarming for most of your guests that it's you and your mum. So then and you can
lots
hear
of
it,
the Americans are very confused. They're like, oh, it's so cute that you brought your mum. I'm like, no, she's the star.
Yeah. I love that you said that. When you in one of your shows that any mention of your mum basically gets the biggest cheer.
Huge.
Does she have a rider?
Oh, she, I'm going to have to calm it down because I don't think she realizes that that's us paying for it. So when she's saying champagne, I'm like, that's fine. Like, let's have a bottle of champagne, but we're not having like, you're not Mariah Carey.
Yeah, yeah, puppies and kittens.
Yeah,
in the
exactly,
dressing.
Exactly.
Also, she's a social worker. Is she still a social worker?
Yeah, she still works. She's 70. She still works far too hard. I want her to start calming down. Yeah. I want her to move to Southeast London. She says she won't because she's worried that I'll move to the country. I'm not moving to the country. Right.
When you were growing up with her as a social worker, like, did you hear about what other kids and stuff like that? I think what I'm trying to get to, I think because you are really authentic and honest, and there's something that doesn't feel like you're unattainable for people, which feels quite unusual because a lot of pop stars wouldn't be like that. I wonder if it had an impact just growing up, because you're lucky and you had a family who loved you and a house and everything else that lots of people have, but you would have maybe had an awareness that not everybody had that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think my mum does a very important job, and she, although she wouldn't discuss her cases with us, you know, you've got the general idea of that it wasn't pretty. And I think I'm just very proud of my mum. She's got this magical way with people, and that probably is through being a social worker and that conversation and being able to ask those hard questions, but without it feeling too like, you know, accusing and but I mean, unless you're like with her in an airport and then she like loses her shit, but anyway. But yeah, no, I feel very lucky, and I'm very proud of my mum, and I've talked about this a lot, but you know, she brought us up essentially on her own and just never made it feel like it was ever hard, which now, having three kids and I have a very supportive husband, I'm like, how the fuck did she drive us all to Wales, North Wales, after school with some mates?
Oh my God.
And I'm vomiting in the back of the car and we're still singing Show Me Heaven, Mariah McKee, you know, the Days of Thunder soundtrack, or I just don't know how she did it. Like, anyway, I mean, don't get me wrong, she shouted. But no, I do think that all those elements of my mum's brilliant personality have really helped the podcast. And the fact that we've always kind of, mum and I have always been quite nosy. We're always those people that make friends with the person next to us on the sun lounger on holiday. We want to know everyone's business. We want to have a chat. We want to have a goss. And it's just, yeah, I think that people feel safe with my mum, and hopefully with me and especially when over dinner and wine, most of the time, it's really, you know, it's a nice environment. It's not an interview.
The Rob Brydon episode.
That was lovely.
And he started off and he'd listened to a couple of episodes, but he obviously hadn't listened to loads.
He kind of scoped us out.
But he, as you can hear him warming up as you get, and by the end, you guys are singing Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so good.
He was heaven. And I think it's quite interesting, these ones, because a lot of them, you know, I understand now, maybe their publicists are telling them it would be a good idea for them to do it.
The reach. Which
cracks me up. So Rob, you know, I think they'd asked for Rob. We'd always wanted Rob. Mm. And I said it in the podcast. I was like, you know, part of this idea of having food in this was because I loved The Trip so much, his show that he did with Steve Coogan. It's very fun. It's great. We love it. We love the guests that we have. You know, some we never know how it's going to go. Most of the time it's absolutely brilliant, and some it's kind of quite interesting and a bit hairy.
I guess you can't really talk about those, but that can come out in the memoirs or something.
Yeah,
it's interesting how you've married the two, basically, because you've got, like, when I said to people, oh, I'm talking to Jessie Ware, it was a really interesting mix of people. All of them were like, oh, I love her, she's brilliant. And there was this mix of people who knew you through the podcast and a mix who knew you from music. And that amazing that you can have two platforms, basically.
I know.
That do them work together, right?
Yeah, weirdly, they've kind of met in the middle of, particularly with my kind of gay fans. I feel like they are gay fans and also like mum fans or parent fans. I don't know, there's something about it. Like, and that was before Is It Normal came out. But they seem to kind of like both. But it's amazing the reach that this podcast has. You know, the fact that we can go to Hollywood, I think we've sold some tickets, and do four nights there. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Like, it's an excuse to go in Easter somewhere gorgeous and fabulous. And my mum to see her daughter who lives there. yeah, we don't take it for granted. Sometimes, you know, I think it can feel like a bit of hard work for my mum, especially because she's been doing a lot more of the cooking, because I didn't have a kitchen, but now I do. So yeah. And that's why she's loving the fact that I'm cooking today. And she'll kind right. of, yeah, she'll, yeah, it's fine. It's good. It's good. It's good.
Will she critique it?
No, she's very generous about my food, actually. Aww. Like I did this one on Friday and she was like, you're a much better chef than me. And I'm actually not. I'm absolutely not. Yeah. But she's, yeah, I think it's just anybody cooking that isn't her. She's like, thank you. Love it.
Yeah, yeah. It's been so nice to talk to you.
And you.
Ow, well, three kids, man. You're doing it. You're doing it.
Thank you. And just like, yeah, congrats on the podcast and your amazing company. Like, honestly, it's just so... I love that you've got like cook vouchers on there, haven't you, and stuff,
yeah.
haven't you?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
God bless a cook meal.
I know, well, especially when you've had a kid or if you're ill or anything. It's just...
You've got one hand, you can put it in the oven. That's it. Sorted.
Well, this is why the batch cooking's so brilliant that you're... Because if you've got stuff in the freezer, everything's okay.
Yes, but my husband's got a real like weirdness about using food from freezer. I need him to... I'm like, babe, it's fresh, it's just been frozen.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just doesn't get it, so I need to like knock some sense into him.
Yeah, yeah. Oh well, thank you so much. And yeah, well, when does the tour start back again?
Table Manners tour is in the end of April, the Hollywood tour is the beginning of April, and then my rescheduled dates for my What's Your Pleasure shows I think are in May, and then hopefully you'll see me at some festivals if you...
And any... I was gonna say, any Glastonbury plans?
I couldn't possibly say, Steph.
Oh,
but yeah, no, I've got lots of festivals planned. I'd like a few more. It just feels... it's weird because music's now become this... I'll have probably a new record out this year, but music has become this... it's so odd. It's... you have to really appreciate every moment you get doing music because it feels so hard to do at the moment, in the sense of performing. So I'm really trying to relish every time I get to go in the studio or get on stage, because you just... it seems so unstable at the moment.
Hopefully
fingers crossed it'll all get better.
Yeah, okay, well thank you, have a lovely day, good luck with your cooking tonight.
Thank you, Steph. And and yeah, hopefully I'll see you again soon.
Yeah, take care.
All right, take care, bye.
So there you go, I told you she was lovely and beautifully honest. And before I interviewed Jessie, I listened to loads of her music and was watching loads of clips of her. And there was this one of her singing Wildest Moments at Glastonbury back in 2015. And I'll put a link in the show notes because it's incredible. Like, she's just effortless. The sound that comes out of her is amazing. And then she's just moving around the stage with such confidence, like she owns it. And she'd only been doing it for a few years at that point. So I definitely want to go and see her tour when it's back up and running. Just amazing. So thank you to Jessie. And if you've enjoyed this episode or any of the episodes, I would love it if you could rate and review and subscribe to the podcast. Then you'll get the ping when we issue a new episode. And just thank you so much for listening. And I hope you have a good week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.